Second Peter chapter 3 and the verse 14 is the verse that I want to draw your attention to this morning. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And so I just want to take out some words. And so I highlight my text this morning by reading the words in the midst of verse 14. Be diligent that ye may be found of him without spot. Be diligent that ye may be found of him without spot. That's our text. How should we want the Lord Jesus to find us? The answer is, without spot. There are three things in the text. There is, first of all, a visitation. And then there is a consideration. And then, thirdly, there is a preparation. First of all, how should we want the Lord Jesus to find us? There is a visitation. Because the text says, being found of him. Being found of him. In other words, a visitation is implied in the text. There is a personal appearing. There is a personal visit of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to find us. And we want to be found of him without spot. So there's a visitation in play, because he's going to come and find us. Now, I must explain this finding, being found of him. This is not the finding that the Lord Jesus does now in the day of grace. This is not the finding that he does as the Savior of sinners. This is not a finding to seek and to save lost sinners. It is not a finding to save. In the first advent, that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came. He came to find, just as he's coming in his second advent to find. But in his first advent, he came to find sinners and to save them. He does that now, still. He comes in the gospel. He comes in his word. He comes to the door of the sinner's heart. And he seeks and finds the lost sinner. And he brings them to himself. That's what the Lord Jesus is doing now in the day of his grace. Like the shepherd going out after the lost sheep. And he keeps going after the lost sheep until he finds him. And then he puts him on his shoulders in a wonderful union. And he brings them back. And finally brings them to the Father's house. And there's everlasting rejoicing. This finding is not the finding of the shepherd after the lost sheep. You remember how the woman diligently sought the lost coin, and she found it, and she lifted it up out of the dirt, and she cleaned it off, and she restored it again completely to its place. That's what Jesus does. He finds a lost sinner. He cleans him. And he restores him to his place that he lost when he fell in Adam. The Lord Jesus is a Savior, seeking his sheep, seeking the lost coin until he finds it. That's what he's doing now in the day of grace. That day is referred to in verse 15, account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. He's seeking to save sinners. And this period now, it's a long period, it's been going on for hundreds of years. He's seeking sinners, and he's finding them as well. But the finding in our text, verse 14, is not that finding. He's not going to find them to save them. The text is not a coming to cleanse, but a coming to inspect, a coming to judge, a coming to examine. And so it is not the coming of a Savior to save the sinner, nor is it the coming as a shepherd to watch over the flock and to feed it, and to improve it, and to nourish it, and to sanctify it. Jesus comes to us as people. He finds us in his house. He comes as a shepherd in his house, and he finds us, and he feeds us, and he improves us, and he sanctifies us. That's not the finding in our text. The finding in our text is the finding that the Lord Jesus Christ does in the day of the Lord. The finding that he does in his coming again. The finding that he does in a future day. And so in our text, a personal coming and appearing is implied. I remind you that the whole context is about the second coming, isn't it? It's about his appearing. You remember how the scoffers started it off? Where's the promise of his coming? And Peter has entered into a great defense of that doctrine of the day of the Lord and of his coming in judgment. And now he's beginning to apply it. And he says, he's coming again. He's going to appear. And he's going to find us. And he better find us without spot. So a personal coming is implied. And the whole context sets that forth. And so the reference is to the finding at the end of the world. The finding when he comes through the clouds and every eye sees him and we all appear before him. It's future, that ye may be found of him. It's a future day. That day is sometimes called the day of visitation. In fact, Peter calls it that in his first epistle, in 1 Peter chapter 2, and in verse 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You see, they're not going to do it now. Oh, the ungodly aren't going to say a good word about the people of God now. They'll deny that their works are good works. And they'll conceal themselves from the truth of it. But in the day of visitation, whenever the Lord comes back again and is all revealed, then they'll have to glorify God and say, yes, they were good works. But they won't do it until the day of visitation, the day when the Savior visits us. When he comes to find us, the day when we shall meet him, the day when he shall come, is the day that we are going to be found of him in his presence. We might paraphrase it, be diligent that ye might be in his sight or in his presence without spot. How should we want him to find us in that day? That's our theme this morning. How shall he find us all? He's going to find us. How will he find us? And so sinner and saint, both alike, should never forget this truth, that we're going to be found of him. Whenever you are expecting a visit, you tidy the house up, don't you? You set things in order. You make diligent preparation so that you have a clean house. And you make some adjustments so that when your visitor comes in, he finds it clean. That's the kind of thing that's been referred to in our text. There's a visitor coming. He's not an ordinary visitor. He can't be fooled. He's coming. He's coming into our home. He's coming into our life at the great day of judgment. How is he going to find you? How would we want to be found of him? That's our theme. So there's a visitation then implied in the text. And it's a universal finding, because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. There's not an exception. Let none think, oh, he's never going to find me. I'm never going to have to appear before the Lord. You are. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. He's going to find us all. Before him were gathered all nations. Every eye shall see him. That's the universal finding of the judgment day. It is the great day of discovery, the great day of finding out, the great day of revealing. When Jesus comes, he finds all. When Jesus comes, he brings all into light. When Jesus comes, all discoveries are made of concealed things. He comes to find us out. So this day is a great day of revealing, the great day of discovery, the great day of unveiling, found of him. Found of him. And the Bible has quite a bit to say about that. And even uses this language, found, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And the verse 5. We read that, therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come. Don't think that you know everything. Don't think that you can justly criticize a man infallibly. Judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. The Lord come and will bring to light and manifest found of him. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 3 we read, if so that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. We're going to be found, but we better be clothed before we're found, so that we'll not be found naked. We read in Revelation chapter 3 and the verse 18, the Lord Jesus says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, so on and so forth. And then he says, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness, and these are the words, do not appear, so that they'll not be seen. Because there's going to be a great day of looking, a great day of finding, and you better be clothed so that the shame of your nakedness is covered and it doesn't appear before his all-seeing eye. The Lord Jesus used similar language himself on the great Olivet sermon in chapter 24 of Matthew's Gospel. We read, who then is that, verse 45, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give him their meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find. so doing. He's coming to find. He's coming to find if the steward has been faithful to the household. He's coming to find if the steward has given the meat onto the household, or he's been entertaining them in some other way. He's coming to find if the household has been given the meat by the steward. He's coming to find out, and it's going to appear in that day. And then in Mark's Gospel, chapter 13, the same discourse, but different phraseology, verse 36, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. The Lord Jesus is the originator of this idea of finding, of making a discovery in the day of judgment. He's coming, but coming suddenly, beware lest you find you sleeping. And so that's the finding that is referred to in our text, a visitation. But then secondly, there is a consideration. Seeing that we're all going to be found of the Lord Jesus, and all going to appear before him and be seen in his sight, we should want to be found of him without spot. That's how we should want to be found, without spot. Now you need to consider this, sinner. And you need to consider this also, saint of God, that when he comes, you had better be found of him without spot, spotless. Consider that you must be spotless. Let this thought sink down into our hearts. Let me write it in your conscience with a pen of gold. You must be without spot. You must be spotless when Jesus comes. When he comes back, that's how he expects to find you. That's how he expects to find me. Without spot. Without spot. There must be no stain on your person. Spotless you must be. And nothing less will do. It is not be found of him having only a few spots. It is not being found of him having only a solitary spot. No, the Holy Ghost says that ye may be found of him without any spot, spotless. He must not find the slightest spot, because he will not present you to himself unless you are without spot. We read in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27 concerning the church, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot. He's coming back for the church, and he's not going to present it to himself any other way but that it be without spot. He won't do it. We have to be found without spot. If the leper was found with one spot, he had to go outside the camp. He had to go without. What does this without spot mean? Well, Peter uses the very same word in his first epistle, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. We read there concerning the Lord Jesus Christ that he is a lamb without blemish and without spot. The very same word is described concerning our Lord Jesus. He is without spot, and he has to find us without it too. If we want to know without spot means, then we have to look to Jesus. because he's the one who had no spot. From birth to the cross, no spot. No spot appeared. No scab under the skin spreading, evidence of leprosy. No, none whatsoever. No spot in his person. No spot in his heart. The spotless man, the sinless heart. Consider the one then who was spotless by nature, if you want to know what it means that we must be without spot. Consider this also, that none of us by nature can be without spot. By nature we cannot be without spot. We cannot be without spot as Jesus was without spot. We cannot be sinless as Jesus was sinless. We cannot be sinless by nature. The truth is we are lepers. We are all lepers. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Even the youngest are stained, telling lies and crying falsehoods from the cot. None of us are spotless by nature. But then consider also that the gospel of Christ in the day of grace, in the time of divine long-suffering, in the day of salvation, the gospel sets forth a font for our cleansing. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And so let me bring you to the texts, to some texts, that show not only the need of being found without spot, but the means of being without spot. Ephesians chapter 5. We read there that the Lord Jesus Christ loved the church. A church that was with spot. A church that was sinful, as it was found in nature. But he loved the church and he gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot. You will notice that it is not nature that makes us without spot. It is grace. It is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It is the blood of the Lamb alone that makes us without spot. He gave himself for it. He purchased the means of cleansing, the means of purifying, the means of sanctification, justification and sanctification. He obtained them all that we might be without spot. We read also from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. We did that for a purpose. We read there in the Gospel of Matthew 22, we read there verse 11, the king came in. And why did the king come in? He came to see the guests. He came to find the guests. He came to see how they appeared before him. It is the wedding day. It is the day of the king. It is the day of the marriage. It is the day of the presentation of a church without spot unto Jesus. And the king comes in to inspect the members, the professing members of the church. And he comes in to see that they are without spot. He comes in to see that they have on the wedding garment. He comes in to see that they are not coming in their own filthy garments, that they're not coming with garments spotted and stained. He comes in to see, and he sees one has not the covering of the king's spotless garment. And what a sad end he faces. And you remember, we'll not turn to it, how Paul said that he had jettisoned his own righteousness that he might be found in Christ, in his righteousness, being found of him. Being found of him. It is not nature that makes us spotless, but grace. A consideration of spotlessness. there are necessity of it. The example of one who is without spot to show what we must be, that we are not spotless by nature, but the gospel and the grace of Jesus Christ in the day of salvation and in the day of long-suffering can make us spotless as to our standing with God. And so that brings us to our final point. Not only is there a visitation being found of him, not only a consideration being found of him without spot, but also there is a preparation. Be diligent that ye may be found of him without spot. I have shown you the future day of visitation. I have told you of the solemn consideration that in that future day you had better be found with no spot. I remind you now of your duty to make preparation that you may be thus so found in that day. Be diligent. Do your utmost. Use all means at your disposal. Don't be slothful about this matter. Don't be half asleep about this matter. It requires diligence. Be diligent that ye may be found of him without spot. To be found of him without spot requires earnest, true and real preparation. It's not just wishful thinking that will make you appear without spot in that day. It's not just waving a wand will make you appear without spot that day. It's not just raising a hand will make you appear without spot that day. It's not just walking down an aisle that will make you appear without spot in that day. Oh, it requires diligence. It requires earnestness. It requires seriousness. It's not enough to hope everything will turn all out at the end. And when he comes, somehow, because I've been in the church, I'm without spot. It doesn't happen that way. You must be diligent to be found of him without spot in that day when he comes. Diligence. If you want your house tidy when someone calls, then you had better make it tidy. If you want your house right whenever the great visitor comes in, then you'd better make the adjustments. And you'd better make them soon if he's coming soon. And you'd better make them now if he's coming suddenly and at any time. Be diligent. You had better get the cleaning agents out. You had better make the necessary arrangements. Be diligent. The Holy Ghost says to you, sinner, that you may be found of him without spot. Why do you need to be diligent? Well, you need to be diligent because this is no easy matter. It's no easy matter to have a new heart. It's no easy matter to be born again and truly regenerated from above. It's no easy matter. It's easier to raise the dead than to regenerate your heart. In fact, you cannot do it. You must be born from above. The grace of God must come down into your heart and regenerate it. You must be wrought upon by the Holy Ghost. And you must give diligence and seek the Lord that he so work in your life and heart. Ye must be born again. The Bible says, be diligent. Don't lie back. Be a seeker. Be diligent that ye be found of him. And then you must be diligent to be found of him without spot, because this is a rare thing. Few there be that are saved. Many are called, the Bible says, but few are chosen. This is a rare thing. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat, but narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. You need to give diligence, because this is a rare thing. To be found of him without spot. Many will say to me in that day, Jesus said, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Have we not cast out devils? Have we not done many works? I will say to them, I never knew you. Be diligent that you may be found of him without spot. You need to be diligent too because time is short. You cannot delay. Death is coming. The Lord is coming. True, the Lord has already been long-suffering to you thus far, but he will not be ever suffering. The time is short. Give diligence. Arouse yourself, man. Wake up. Be diligent. Be found of him without spot. And then you need to be diligent because he's coming suddenly. Lest coming suddenly he finds you asleep. Be diligent. And then you need to be diligent also because if he finds you with spot, if he finds you with unrepented sin, if he finds you with unclean stain upon you, the consequences will be dreadful and terrible. That's why the Holy Ghost says, be diligent. Because otherwise the consequences are dreadful. To have stain upon you, to have a spot upon you, shows that you are not among his children. And you'll hear those words, depart from me, ye cursed. Like the leper who brought a spot to the priest. There it is. Below the skin, proving you're unclean. Your spot is not the spot of his children. It's the spot of a leper. Depart from me, ye cursed. It's not a scab. It's not a freckled spot of the people of God. But it is a bright spot of a burning leprosy underneath, spreading. Depart from me, ye cursed. You have the spot of the unregenerate and the unconverted. That's why you need to be diligent. Be diligent. And how should you manifest this diligence? Well, we need to be diligent to discover our spots and to discern them. Oh, be diligent to search yourself out and to find them. Be diligent to see your sin and your stains. Bring the light of the word. Go to the priest. Show yourself to him and bring the light of his word to the spot. Discover it. Discern it. Know that you have it. Oh, there's no hope for the man who doesn't know he's a sinner. There's no hope for the man who's never seen his spots, never discerned his spots. Oh, discover them. Discover you're a sinner. Discover your uncleanness in the light of the word of God. Be not deceived. Let not one spot pass as a virtue, but let every spot be seen for what it is, a leprous spot. Plead no excuses for the breaking of God's law. Fool not yourself that your sins are not spots. So discover them. But not only discover them, detest them. Detest them. Hate them. Be not like the leper or the cheetah. The leopard or the cheetah who loves her spots, who's proud of their spots, who uses their spots as a camouflage and a garment of glory for them. Oh, do not think that your spots are a fitting ornament for you. Cast them off. Hate them. Turn from them. Woe to the man who does not blush at his spots, but who rather loves them and holds on to them. So detest them, but also depart from them. Repent of them. Forsake them. Leave them. Every spot. Forsake it. Take yourself to the Ten Commandments and look for the spots that are the breaking of the Ten Commandments. Have you any other God before him? Is there anything more supreme that you love than the Lord? Is there anything greater to you than God? Do you forsake his worship? Do you desecrate his day? You have the spot of breaking the commandments. Do you take his name in vain, professing yourselves Christian, but living like the devil, taking his name in vain, the spot of the unregenerate? Are you full of hatred and murder? Spots. Are you full of envy and deceit? Spots. Are you full of lusts and uncleanness? Spots. Are you full of adultery? Spots. Are you full of covetousness? Spots. Oh, turn from them all. Or do you dishonor your parents? Spots. Do you despise authority, office, whether in the church or state? Spots. All the breaking of the Lord's commandments, as we bring ourselves to the light of the word, the spots appear. Repent, repent, and be diligent to be found of him in that day without spots. Be diligent not only to discover your spots, be diligent not only to detest your spots, be diligent not only to depart from your spots, but be diligent to be washed from your spots, to be cleansed. Go to the font for cleansing, the blood of Jesus. Go to the priest for cleansing. No, the Old Testament priest, he couldn't do anything about it. He was powerless. But there's a priest in glory, and you can bring your spots to him, and he can declare you clean, as he healed the leper in days of old, as he walked among men. Why did he do that? The only one who could thoroughly do that was Jesus, because he's a priest that not only discovers our spots to us, but who removes them by his blood. Be diligent to be washed. To be found of him. Oh, it's no easy matter. It's not a matter to be delayed. It's not a matter to be fooled around with. And let me also say this. Be diligent not to become spotted again. Be diligent not to become spotted again. Because the Bible says, be diligent to be found of him. It's a future day without spots. Don't be spotted again, child of God. The text requires your remaining unspotted. The text requires your being unspotted when he comes. Don't apostatize. Don't turn from the font. Don't turn your back on Christ. And don't turn again to your sins. And hold fast of them and say, I'll not let it go. Don't be found in that day with spot. Because true religion and pure religion and the religion that is saving is a man that is not only cleansed, but he keeps himself unspotted from the world. He that endureth on to the end shall be saved. Be diligent that when death calls you, you're unspotted. Be diligent when he comes and breaks through the sky and finds you. He finds you unspotted. Be diligent, sinner. Don't delay. Don't fool around. Turn to Jesus in true faith and true repentance.